Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the IFB Industries Limited Q1FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Natasha Jain from Nirmal Bang Equities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities welcomes you all to the first quarter FY25 results conference call of IFB Industries. I would like to thank the management of IFB Industries for giving us an opportunity to host the call. Management is represented by Mr. Bikramjit Nath, Chairman, Mr. Raj Shankar Ray, MD and CEO, Home Appliances Division, Mr. P.H. Narayanan, Managing Director, Engineering Division, Mr. Soumitra Goswami, CFO, and Mr. Jayanta Chanda, CFO of Engineering Division. I would now like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, post which we shall open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good day, everybody. I welcome you all for IFB Industries Limited investor call for first quarter of FY24-25. I am Soumitra Goswami, the Chief Financial Officer of IFB Industries Limited. I have with me Mr. Bikramjit Nath, Chairman of IFB Industries Limited, Mr. Raj Shankar Ray, Managing Director and Chief Executive of our Home Appliances Division, Mr. P.H. Narayanan, Managing Director and Chief Executive of our Engineering Division, Mr. Jay Chandra, CFO of our Engineering Division. Now, I will inform you about quarter one results. Revenue for the quarter was 1,244.44 crore against last year, rupees 1,062.85 crore, with a growth of 17%. EBITDA for the period was 86.55 crore, and its percentage to revenue was.
Being recorded.
Its percentage to revenue was 6.95% as compared to last year, 40.68 crore, which was 3.83% on revenue. EBITDA amount came across a growth of 113% year-on-year. I think EBITDA amount is due to rise in gross contribution amount, which is on account of 17% increase in revenue. Fixed expenditure for the quarter was well below budget and was at par with last year, which helped the company to improve margin as compared to last year's corresponding quarter. PBT for the period was 52.40 crore against last year's figure of 3.55 crore. Q1 PAT was 38.84 crore, which was 3.12% on revenue. With this, I will request to start the question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shreyans Jain from Swan Investments. Please go ahead. Hello? Please go ahead with your question. Ms. Jain? Ms. Jain, please go ahead with your question. Your line is unmuted.
Yeah, hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my first question is.
This is better. So last few quarters, we've been talking about improvement in our material costs. But the four quarters, if I were to look at your gross margin, from 43% now, we are at about 38-odd%, 43, 40, and now 38. So just wanted some sense, you know, the effort that you made in the past. What is happening here? Because is there some discounting that we've done in this quarter for IPLs or ACs? So that's my first question, sir.
Mr. Will you take this question, please?
Yeah, the voice was a little muffled. I think you're trying to relate the material cost reduction with the gross contribution. Did I understand the question correctly?
Yes.
Okay. So what will happen is typically in a quarter like this Q1, the percentage contribution from an air conditioner category would be very high. And the gross contribution ratios at company level between the various product categories are different. So what you see as an aggregated value is also affected by the fact that a lower gross contribution category like air conditioner would be very high as far as the revenue is concerned. As far as the point on material cost is concerned, we had confirmed in the previous quarter as well that the material cost reductions have flowed into the P&L. They have also been helpful to the margin improvement that you see in this quarter. And if you look at periods like quarter three or quarter two, when the washer contribution rises, you will see a clear linkage between the gross contribution and the material cost the way you're wanting to tally it. Does that answer your question, please?
Yes. So my second question is on washers category. Now, if I were to look at your performance as well as the industry, so we understand the industry has been flat or maybe negative. But I'm just trying to relate to what you were saying in the last two, three quarters. You know, we've done a lot of product innovation, new product launches. So I'm trying to just reconcile the fact that we would have placed a lot of primaries, these new products in the channel, in the market. So what I'm trying to ask you is, sir, in the existing product category, have we faced some sort of volume degrowth? Because a lot of new products would have flown to the market, so a lot of primaries would have been built there. So X of that, where are we in the washers category, sir? Have we faced some volume degrowth or some kind of degrowth in that category?
Yes. So we have had degrowth in the washer category. And if you see the investor reports where actually category-wise the sales figures are represented as well, you will see that there is a degrowth that we've had. We are not happy about what we have been able to do in the washer category. And I think the key area of focus is in terms of our sales team looking at the key accounts, the distribution accounts, and ensuring that we get the extraction that we require. Currently, the level of work that we are doing, we are not happy with what is happening. So yes, there is a degrowth in this quarter as far as the volume and value is concerned.
Okay. Sir, my last question is more on the extraction bit that you have mentioned in the presentation. So I'm just trying to understand when you talk about channel extraction, what are you specifically talking about? Can you help us qualitatively? What are you trying to do there? Because one of your competitors has said, you know, placing companies, sales representatives in the channel has helped them grow. And the second part to this question is, sir, I'm just trying to understand your ROI on advertisements and promotion. I just saw the annual report numbers. So we spent about 6% of our sales on A&P. I look at the industry, sir, your closest competitor spends less than 1% of his sales on A&P. We spend 6%. One of the leading players spends, you know, if I'm just giving you some data points here, last 10 years, sir, we spent about 1,500 odd crores on A&P for a 3,500 crore top line, whereas the other guys have spent 500 crores and on a size of 8,000 crores of top line. So I'm just trying to understand, sir, where is the ROI? What are we looking at, you know, when we spend 6% of sales on our A&P? You know, when is the leverage that you keep talking about will come in this line item specifically? Because this is one of your largest cost items in the other OPEX bit, sir.
Okay, so I'll answer the question on extraction first. And the work that we have to do on extraction is on two heads. So the first is this point that you spoke about, which you said was a market feedback that you got, which is the presence of people in a counter where the products are displayed. So currently there are a percentage of counters, specifically the key account counters, where IFB has a product display, but IFB doesn't have a representative to sell. and the presence of that person is critical to extraction. So if you don't have the person, you virtually don't sell anything. Once you have it, then IFB does enjoy a dominant share. So one of the key tasks we have is to ensure that we fill up all the accounts basically and their counters with the people from IFB who we call as counter sales representatives. So in extraction, this is the action one. The second was, which we've been writing about for the last two quarters, is that there were some capacity and some price points where we have lost share over the last few quarters. So, for example, an 8 kg front-loading capacity point was one. Top-loading some of the higher capacity price points was a second. So, starting from the month of August, there is a complete changeover of the range of front-loaders and top-loaders which has begun, which will happen between, let's say, this first week of August going up to mid-October. And in terms of ensuring that the product range is rightly positioned as far as the market requirements are concerned, and also the ILB offering to consumers is significantly upgraded, this is the second part of the extraction. So one is the presence of a person. The other is what you have as a consumer proposition is strengthened as much as possible. So this is the first point as far as extraction is concerned. The second question that you had was vis-a-vis the ad and promo figures. So I would just request Sumitro to also chip into this, because in the representation of the ad and promo heads, you know, what heads are being considered as reported by IFB versus what is reported by others. I'm not sure that this difference is like 1 to 6%, etc. But having said that, over the last two odd months, in terms of the money that is spent under the head of ad and promo, and how we can make that, you know, expense more productive, better utilized, is an exercise that is internally going on, which by the end of this quarter will be fully stabilized. To the specific question that you had is, as far as the investments in the ad and promo head are concerned, have we been able to get the ROIs or the returns that we should get? Currently, the answer is no. For the spends that we've had, definitely our leverage should have been much more as far as revenues are concerned.
Okay, sir. I saw that.
Sumitro, would you like to add to this point, please, on a specific comparison?
Yes, Mr. In our sales promotion expenditure head, there are two kinds of expenditure. One is promotion expenditure, which is pure promotion expenditure. Another is CSR expenditure, which Mr. Ray was talking about, the people who are present in different counters. In case of pure sales promotion expenditure, as compared to quarter one of last year, this year the expenditure has gone down by 13.7 crore because we have cut down many expenditures which are not necessary. We have cut down those heads, and in case of CSR, it has remained in the same level. So if you take both sales promotion and CSR expenditure, total expenditure for quarter one this year is 66 crore as compared to last year 78 crore. In terms of turnover, in terms of percentage to turnover, percentage is 5.30% in this year as compared to last year 7.37. So there is a gain of 2.08% in the P&L. Is it clear?
Yes, sir, that helps. And sir, what other line items would have helped us in reducing our OPEX percentage to sales, sir, this quarter?
I am talking about pure sales promotion expenditure as compared to last year 42 crore, that's come down to 28 crore. There is a gain of 13.69 crore. We have cut down many expenditures. There are many heads here. BTL activity, which are branches are doing, digital marketing, and many other things. There are 7-8 line items. So we have cut down some of the expenditure which are not necessary. In this quarter, we have cut down on those rates. And it just resulted into a savings of 13.7 crores for this quarter as compared to last year's corresponding quarter. As a result, including considering CSR expenditure also, we have gained 12.45 crores in the total promotion expenditure over last.
Okay, so my last question is, sir, when do we see the full benefits of all the efforts that you've taken on the SG&A and the material cost reductions to come through? Because I think last quarter you were talking about Q1, Q2, and even on the employee cost.
If you look at the way our material cost profile as well as the fixed expenses profile is today, the key thing to sustainable profitability is the sale of the washer segment. And our gross margins are the highest on that category, and the potential is also high. So if in quarter two, quarter three, we are able to fully address the volumes from both the front load and top load segment, with the work which is already completed in terms of material cost, the kind of volumes that we've seen on the air conditioner from this season onwards, we will be able to deliver the profile that you're talking about as far as margins are concerned. Does that answer your question, please?
Yes, sir. I'll fall back in the queue. I have a few more questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Prolin Nandu from Edelweiss Public Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Thank you for taking my question. First of all, Mr. Shankar, Raj Shankar, all the best for your next role. My question to the management is that what is our game plan to replace Mr. Raj Shankar? Are we looking at somebody internal, and by when can we hear an announcement about his replacement?
Hi, this is Vikram Nag here. This is something that the board is thinking through, and we will revert on this soon, which will be by around September end, beginning October. But Mr. Ray is fully in charge, and the team below him is fully equipped and is fully in charge.
Sure, that's comforting to know. Now the second question again is something as a follow-up to the previous participant's question, right? Last quarter we faced some supply issues in aircon. This quarter's again, washers have not lived up to our mark, our expectation. And while we have identified the problem in terms of increasing our presence on the counter, in terms of having the right manpower, in the past we have also identified the challenges to meet this objective. Is difficulty of finding the right kind of a people, right, to maybe lead a region or a state or a particular geographical area. So, apart from these challenges, what are the other challenges that are, preventing us from solving this issue once and for all? And how have we, let's say, for example, strategy A has not worked. So how have we changed the strategy to, solve for this particular problem?
It's a Raj Shankar here. It's a very interesting question that you ask, because what we have seen internally is that this idea that we have a counter and the counter has an IB presence and it requires a person to ensure that we get extraction in geographies where we have our manning rights in terms of the leadership at a state level or a zonal level, where the sales team is fully focused as far as implementation is concerned, we find that we don't have any issues. Conversely, if we don't get the leadership right, there are lots of issues, and among them, this is one of them. So the point that you're making is right, that we have a particular strategy that we've been chasing. With that strategy, the counters are not completely filled. But are we making a change in strategy per se as of now? No, because we believe that it's essentially an implementation issue. And if we are able to get implementation right in terms of an entire alignment on the sales team and other enablers from the central teams, it is something that we should be able to close, and we should be able to close within the next few months itself.
No, so Mr. Raj Shankar, I agree with you that I'm not asking you to change the strategy, but, to solve this problem, it's not something it's a very large problem in some sense. It's a product-related problem. Quality is not good, which requires us to go to the back end. the costing is not good, which again requires us to probably, you know, think about the gross margins and all these problems that we have are already solved in some sense. But this is the problem which is taking a slightly longer time, right? So I'm not asking you to change the strategy. What I wanted to understand was that how are we changing the implementation of this strategy to get the results as soon as possible? And also, you know, just when you answered that, you are expecting a good Q2, Q3, right, in terms of washers. But again, if we don't have these people on the counter, how is that going to happen, right? I mean, can you help us understand, because now we are in August. We have already, you know, around 40 days of a quarter has already been passed. So we would be knowing, do we have people, right, people on the counter or not, in some sense. Is it that there is slight improvement on this particular issue on a quarter-on-quarter basis that makes us hopeful that Q2 and Q3 would be better?
So the answer to your point is that have we made a significant improvement as far as the manning completion is concerned at the counter level? The answer is a no. But what has improved is in terms of the alignment within the system, which is the sales team, in terms of the importance of this single parameter, as far as the washer category sales is concerned, that is at a very high level. So when I said that we have this belief that we will improve this parameter quickly over this quarter and the next quarter, it comes from that. But as a specific response to you, are we doing anything different in terms of the way that we look for people or the way we induct people? As of now, we haven't changed anything as far as those points are concerned.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much. One last question, sir, before I join back the queue. Is there anything unexpected or one-off that we expect during the next 2-3 quarters? Like we had supply issues in Q4 for aircon. Anything that you foresee that can derail our own internal expectation of how this year will pan out to be?
As far as the market is concerned, we don't expect any disruption per se. The only risk that we are working on internally, which I would classify as an internal risk, is the BIS processes that the government of India has introduced, where there is an active discouragement of imports into India, which could be at a finished goods level or it could be at a component level. Over the last few months, there has been an acceleration by the government on pushing this agenda forward. So that is the only possible area of a problem, because in some areas, maybe the industry is not ready completely right now in terms of being able to source from within India or from sources outside of China. There is a possible risk there, but we are working with the supplier base and internal teams to mitigate this. And there's a lot of work happening at the industry level as well. So I would look at that as only one possible area of risk. The market, I think, is still there to be accessed. Potential still remains high as far as medium term is concerned.
Sure. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Navid Virani from Bastion Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thank you for the opportunity. So I have a few questions. First one is on the M&A bit, which we wrote in our presentation. So in our presentation, we mentioned that we are looking at an acquisition to be made. Now, is it only pertaining to the engineering business, or this also stands true for the home appliances business?
Only the engineering business.
Understood. Thanks for the clarification. Secondly, wanted to understand that we have also talked about the input cost reduction. So can you please share some specifics as to what is expected to bring in, you know, this input cost reduction? I understand your answer to the previous question about product mix changing to more washers. But are there any other things which you are planning specifically which can, you know, improve this input cost reduction, input cost?
So there were two areas of cost reductions that we've been reporting. One has been the material cost related area. So there were reductions made over the past two fiscals, which will flow into the P&L this fiscal. And for this fiscal, again, we have taken a material cost reduction target on which work is happening. But the more important cost reduction element was this area of fixed cost reduction. And Mr. Soumitra Goswami spoke about some areas of fixed costs on which there have been reductions. But there are another set of fixed cost areas that we are working on. And that is actually more of a priority than the material cost area for, let's say, this quarter and the next two quarters. That is an area on which we had reported a commitment in the investor report as well. Against that, there is still a lot of work to be done. So that is the biggest lever in the quarters ahead.
Understood. So if I have to simplify what you said that we can observe some, you know, gross margin level improvement in this fiscal, but a much larger chunk of the improvement will take place at the lower end of the level, which could be seen in EBITDA margins. Is that understanding correct?
Yes, because I think if you look at the data, you will find that the gross margins that we enjoy are already quite healthy. And you can see them by value on their own, or you can see them as comparisons to players within this sector. The most important thing is to get the revenues in line with potential. And as you rightly said, below the gross margin, working on the fixed cost elements is also a very large lever, which we have to deliver in the next few quarters, basically. So you're right in the way you summarized it.
Perfect. Thank you. Last one was on the growth guidance, which you mentioned in the presentation. So we're talking about 20% kind of growth there. So want to understand where are we getting this confidence from, and also if you could share some specifics on, you know, what are the efforts which we are currently taking to, you know, achieve this kind of a number going forward.
So you're referring to the page 24, and Mr. Nag's point to the teams has always been that with the kind of product range that currently the company enjoys, and with specifically, you know, an improvement on the air conditioner segment and the addition of the refrigerators, his point is that 20% is actually is suboptimal even as a value, because if you look at the potential that comes from the washer segment and the addition of the AC and the refrigerators, there's no reason why the company should not grow more than 20% per annum basis. So the point that he makes to the internal teams is what is captured here. And our confidence is coming from that in terms of the range that IFB carries today, and also the kind of investments that have been made on the washer side, which are now rolling out, plus what is already available from ACs and refrigerators. Does that answer your question, please?
Perfectly, Frankie. Thank you. Thank you for all the answers and all the best to the team.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Sumil Sethi from Secular Gov. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. I have three questions. Two are for Mr. Dashankar Day and one is for Mr. Nag. Mr. Dashankar, I just wanted to check with you on the washer category. Earlier you had mentioned that there was a gap in the larger segment, that is 9 kg and 10 kg, which was filled in the middle of last year. Just wanted to understand that, given that we had a gap in our product portfolio 1 year back, and in this quarter, we are seeing some degrowth, some 7-8% degrowth as compared to last year's similar quarter. Is it because we are drying up the channel owing to a launch of new product portfolio? Or is this a larger trend across the industry in terms of secondary sales as well?
No, so there is no intention to dry up the channel per se, because our channel inventories are actually much lesser than others. So that's not the point. We are not happy about the degrowth, as I shared earlier, and we believe that it has more to do with our implementation ability of points like expansion of the channel, getting extraction vis-a-vis the manning at the counter levels. The data shows that the industry has degrown, but our internal analysis and consensus with all the sales team is that essentially our opportunity is much larger than what the industry reports per se, whether it is growth or degrowth. So I would say 90% to do with our own implementation ability and getting results from the market, and 10% maybe something related to the industry.
Understood. And understanding from the EC numbers that our new range has been received really well. I think the new position, we had positioned it a bit differently as compared to the earlier launch, and that's what you had mentioned in the previous calls as well, that we are reducing our value prop for the ACs a bit towards the mid-premium segment, and I believe that has worked well.
Yes, you're right, because we've been wanting to position in the mid-premium for some time now, and I think there was a resistance from the market to accepting us into that position, but with the work that the teams have done, two things happened this season. One is we were much better placed across all the relevant channels. So whether it was e-commerce or whether the larger accounts, we had a much better representation this time. So therefore, the positioning of the IFB AC as something more towards the mid-premium side was accepted more easily. And the second was that there was definitely a lift which helped in terms of the overall growth in the industry, which was really very significant. And because we were present everywhere, we also benefited from the lift. There is still a lot of work to be done from our end in terms of really taking the air conditioner sales to the potential that we see. But I think the initial steps in the first quarter have been good steps for the sales team.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. My last question is to Mr. Nag. Mr. Nag, just wanted to understand, since Mr. Rajshankar is moving on from the company, what's the thought process of the board in terms of hiring a replacement? Would it be a CEO? Are you looking for a candidate who is more towards the manufacturing side or more towards the sales and marketing side?
Board is still evaluating this, and board will take a comprehensive person, a person who knows things. Board's first choice would of course be like that. And Mr. Ray was fully adept at like both ends. And we will go for a similar profile, either internal or external. That is still not decided.
Sure. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Manoj Gori from Equirus Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, apologies, I joined a bit late. If I understand correctly, we are guiding somewhere around 20% growth during FY25, and which would be obviously led by room AC sales and plus revival in washing machine sales, where we have seen some pressure in Q1, but we expect it to come back on a healthier note in the subsequent quarters. Is that understanding correct?
Yes, Manoj. And that point of 20% is actually is a point that, you know, I just made a few minutes back. Is Mr. Nag's logic on with the kind of product range that we have, there is no reason why, I mean, there's no logical reason why we should not be delivering that or more for that matter. So that's the point here. Yeah.
Right. So, and sir, after the tough quarter for washing machine during 1Q, with monsoons obviously kicking in, have we seen the significant uptake from July onwards and the momentum continues?
Manoj, we haven't seen anything specific in July, but speaking to the channel, also e-commerce indicators, because they get the first feel of the consumer interest much earlier than the rest of the industry, things seem to be okay from August onwards.
Correct.
These are initial feedbacks, please.
Right, sir. So on the margin side, obviously when we look at the 1Q product mix, that seems to be relatively unfavorable, given that our costs are relatively higher into room AC. But if we look at from 2Q and 3Q, where our product mix relatively remains better towards washers, so should we expect sequential margin improvement? Obviously, you have talked a lot on this, but just given the visibility that you guys are having as of now, should we see improvement and sustainability on the profitability, and the trend should continue to head northwards in the coming quarters?
So, Manoj, we don't specifically give a forward guidance because that would not be right. But the single agenda that we have is to get the washer sales right, and with the gross margins that they carry, it has a very positive impact on the company's performance. So as far as the sales team is concerned, or central teams for that matter, in this quarter and the next quarter, getting washers to potential, which will also be helped by the new range which is rolling out, is priority number one, as far as we are all concerned.
Thanks, sir. Thanks, sir. And Rajshankarji, wish you all the best. It has been lovely interacting with you for over the years, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, so a similar question on the margin front. Sir, with operating leverage taking in, our sales improving, as well as I would expect that our refrigeration segment would turn mostly break even in next one or two quarters. Similarly, so can we expect a double-digit margin towards the year end, high single-digit to low double-digit kind of a margin towards the year end?
Soumitra, would you like to take this?
I'll take this. Bikram Nagia. As I had said, our intent is to get to double-digit margin fast. And we are still not there. And in engineering division, we are at about 15%. And we would like to increase this further. And in the appliance business, we need to get to double-digit margin first, which means if we get to that sort of a level, the overall margin for the company would have substantially increased. I think the first like phase is that this will come from increasing sales, cutting of material costs and other costs, and reorganizing certain positions, etc., etc. And the work on that is ongoing. It will also include, of course, the margins will also come from introducing more higher end products, etc.
Yes, sir. That's perfectly understood, sir. I understand your strategies and how we'll increase our margins. But my question was, can we expect this to be achieved by the year end, FY25 end?
We had like genuinely thought that we would have achieved it by now, but we have not. And our hope is that it will be done, as far as I am concerned, ASAP. But it's just taking much, much longer than I thought. So yes, I mean, if we can do it by November, December, it will be fabulous. And hope we can get there or at least nearly there. The issue with October, November is because season is there. That time the sales spike up, etc., and the margins normally rise. So we have to see on a constant basis where are we. You know, so we'll just have to work like through it. But yes, so I hope in Q3 we'll be at a much, much better position.
Okay. Sir, what kind of margins, either on a gross level or EBITDA level, did we achieve in our AC segment for the Q1?
At a what segment? Sorry?
Sir, in the air conditioning segment, what kind of margins did we earn for the Q1, and what kind of can we expect a similar margin for the whole year?
Mr. Ray?
Yeah, so, you know, when there are actually specific... Sorry, Soumitra, please. Yeah.
In AC product category, in quarter one of 24-25, we achieved a sale of 1.37 lakh units, which is a net revenue of 323 crore, and we have achieved positive EBITDA for the first time, 8.78 crore, which is 2.72% of net revenue. Last year corresponding period, this profit was loss of 13.58 crore. So there is a positive swing of 22.37 crore as compared to last year corresponding quarter to this year quarter one.
Okay, sir, that was very encouraging. Just a final question, sir. We have guided that we'll do an acquisition on the engineering side that will most likely double our revenues. So what kind of IRR or ROC would this acquisition have a minimal IRR expectation that we have from this acquisition? And will this be margin accretive, like moving our margin from current 15% to high teens or mid-20s kind of thing?
Engineering division currently operates at about 15% approximately. The company that we hope to buy as soon as that is done, etc., probably will not have that sort of margin at the beginning, because otherwise you'll pay very high premium for such a project. So our view is that we buy something which makes sense for us strategically, and then we have to put in some work in order to improve margins, etc. ROC at present engineering division operates at around 34%. And so when we buy the whatever we are proposing to buy in due course, obviously on day number zero or day number one, IRR and ROC will not be high. For time, I think we will to get to we are at today.
Okay. Sir, I understand that we'll try to buy a subpar company and improve it to our levels. So just what kind of payback can you expect from this acquisition, like in 2-3 years or 4 years? Can you expect our...
Sorry to interrupt, sir. May we request you...
Just a final question. That's just a follow-up question on that. Just final question that I'm asking.
We are looking into various options. We still haven't come up with the right thing, so hence I can't answer that. But ideally, anything we do, 4 to 6 years is what we look for in terms of payback.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Natasha Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on the P&L statement. Historically, if I see, while gross margins have been the best in the industry for us, the translation from gross margin to EBITDA margin has been comparatively weaker. If I see your numbers historically, even at 40% gross margins, we land up at mid-single to low-single EBITDA margin. Now, I understand in terms of gross margin improvement, we're doing a lot of material cost reduction. What I want to know is, what are we working on in terms of the OPEX cost, which can help us, you know, in terms of healthy translation from a gross margin to a better EBITDA margin when we clocking for rental? So my first question is that.
Okay, this is Rajshankar here. I'll answer that. Specific to our division, our understanding was that the fixed costs that we were carrying were not right sized. So there are 7 or 8 lines of cost heads in terms of looking at the employee productivity and the employee costs, you know, things like e-waste compliance costs, office costs, travel costs. I mean, there are, it was actually first principle based evaluation of how much we could reduce without really affecting the overall approach to the market, and we set a target. And that is what we are working on. So our understanding is that that opportunity is anywhere between 10 to 12 CR a month. And that is the target which has been distributed between various teams and what we need to deliver. We've been working on this over the last 2 quarters. The results are still not fully on the table, but in terms of this point that you made about having a very high gross contribution, but not being able to translate it to the bottom line. For the same level of sales, it is this area of fixed cost that we need to work on. Does that answer your question, please?
Yes, sir, it does. So my next question is, given that, you know, we're entering the washing machine season, I just want to understand, first off, what is our channel mix in terms of GT versus non-GT? And if you could call out what kind of incentives are we rolling out to the GT channel? Just some color on that.
So if you look at the channel mix, then e-commerce and IFB points typically range between 15 to 16% of sales. E-commerce is sometimes higher when they have events, etc. But at overall level, it is around this. In terms of the general market channels, you have essentially three routes. One is what is typically called as large format retail, which is the three big chains. And then you have multi-brand, and then you have distribution-led smaller multi-brand stores. So distribution for us is roughly around 15 to 20%. And the remaining is split between the large format retail and the key accounts across the country. As far as the incentive structures are concerned, we typically don't look at any channel incentive. We look at an account level commercial. So we look at an account, we look at what returns we can get. And over the last few quarters or more than a year now, we've been looking at whether we can get the complete range representation from the account. So ACs, refrigerators, wall washers, microwaves, dishwashers. And then we look at what the commercial discussion should be with that account. Another point that we are working on is in terms of these channel incentives or commercials that we have versus the returns that we are getting, what improvements we can make on them. So we typically don't have a channel approach to incentives. It is more an account-based approach.
Understood, sir. So one last quick question. In terms of ad spends, definitely we've seen that, you know, you've maintained your run rate and the ad spend has increased over past few quarters. So just want to understand, or Abhay, if you can throw some color as to where exactly, you know, is this capital or is this amount being deployed, as to how are we really doing those spends in terms of marketing? If you can throw some color on that. Thank you.
So currently, the various heads of ad spends that we're looking at are in terms of in-store investments. So if you have a store which has just opened, or a good store which is already there, in terms of the fixturing that IFB has, the branding inside the store, those are the areas where we are prioritizing investments now, which would essentially be in-store. And then the second head of ad spend is in terms of displays of products in the format of exhibitions, where dealers of a particular area come and look at what we have, and there are discussions between the company and the channel representatives all together. And the third head is digital, which would be approach to existing consumers or approach to consumers who are searching for the products that we offer. So the bulk of the spend is on these three areas. And then, of course, there are multiple smaller heads on which, you know, investment which is required is allocated. Is that the detail that you wanted, please?
Yes, sir. So thank you so much. That was very helpful, and all the very best.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Aditya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, sir, you're audible.
Yes. Yes. So my first question was on the manning side with respect to sales. So management has been very clear that we are not doing enough on the sales extraction side. What is the current status, and have we got the manning in place, or it is still working progress? That leads in a first question. Thank you.
So there are two types of manning. One is the manning at a sales supervisory level covering a particular market. So that manning is in place. The second manning, which we were discussing a little while back, was the in-counter manning. So when you walk into a store as a consumer,
you have a representative who explains the product to you, there we still have gaps which we need to close.
And by when are we targeting to complete that site?
So, you know, as Mr. Nag said a little while back, that target was actually yesterday. So we are already very late as far as completion of this work is concerned. And the bulk of this work we need to definitely complete before we enter the season to be able to really use the season lift. So within quarter two and quarter three, essentially the whole thing has to be completed by us.
Okay, thank you. And my second question was on the advertising side. So just as a general public, the visibility of the brand, because IFB is just not made in India, it is born in India. So making a connect with the audience, will it help from the advertising front and translating into sales? I just wanted to understand the lookout of management.
What is the specific question, please? You wanted to understand?
Visibility of advertising in day-to-day life of IFB as a brand. So like you said, most of the spend is in-store and around the store. So are we targeting greater visibility for IFB as a brand?
Yeah, so it's a beautiful question you've asked. And one of the points that Mr. Nag has been making to internal teams is that this urgent need to fix the margin side and also to conserve spend on the ad and promo side by picking a few critical categories. Both of these actually help to generate revenues and margins, which then will enable us to invest as far as the brand is concerned. And it's a very important agenda with the product range that we have of being able to communicate at a larger level about the IFB brand, its presence in the market. And to do that well, we need to fix this issue of margins first. So that is the point that you heard him speak about a little while earlier. And for us, that is the core agenda. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Naveen Baid.
Next question is from the line of Naveen Baid from Nuvama Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. My question has been answered.
The next question is from the line of Shubham Jain from NV Alpha Fund. Please go ahead.
Good evening. I had one question on the distribution front that you had mentioned earlier. So just wanted to understand what is the profitability across our distribution channels and specifically the IFB points. You know, is it profitable for us as a channel?
Distribution is profitable for us as a channel. In fact, it is more profitable than some of the key account and large format channels. Specifically for air conditioners, refrigerators, top loaders, and also now for front loaders. The distribution is an excellent lever for the company, not only for growth, but also from the margin point of view.
Understood. And, you know, in the presentation, you mentioned that we're doing a revamp of the distribution points that we have. So what exactly is the revamp that we're doing? Are we just adding product categories? And, you know, how are we seeing the performance after the revamp in the 180 stores that we've renovated?
You're talking about the revamp of the design of the IFB points, not distribution,
yes,
right?
Correct.
Yes. So yes. I think you will find it in the market. There is a new design that we have started rolling out from about 3 quarters back. It just makes the store look better. The feedback that we've received is in terms of the lighting, in terms of the product representation, in terms of the feel of the store, which is different from a typical appliance store, and the designs have been doing well. Now, we've been surveying this, and the feedback is one from the counter sales person who is inside the store about what they say about the new design, and also the data in terms of whether sales has increased or not. So the feedback from the people inside the store has been very positive. As far as the data on a specific sales increase only because of the design change, And that is a 50-50. In some cases, we've got results, in some we have not got the results.
Correct.
But the design just makes the store look and feel better. And, you know, if you're in the market, you can always check it out. You'll be able to experience it. And it'll be good to hear from you whether you also, you know, like what you see as the new design.
More definitely. If I caught it right, you mentioned that IFP points account for 15-16% of sales for us at the moment. Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah, about 14-15%. Sometimes a little lesser, but roughly around that much.
And, you know, what was this number, say, 5 years back?
It was similar. It was similar. In fact, I think we were a little higher, let's say, a year or two back. That percentage has reduced a little bit over the last 2 years.
Got it. And in terms of hierarchy post the IFP point, you know, what's the hierarchy in terms of margins for distribution for us?
Sorry, could you just repeat?
In terms of hierarchy of margins from a distribution point of view, you mentioned that, you know, IFP points is one of the better margin channels for us. Just wanted to understand, you know, what is the pecking order post IFP points? What is the next most profitable distribution channel for us?
No, sir. I was actually answering the distribution as a channel. Distribution is a profitable channel for us. IFB points are also more profitable than some of the higher cost channels. We don't specifically look at a channel-wise hierarchy the way I had answered it a little earlier. We look at it from an account point of view. So even within a channel, there would be a variation. You know, there could be a distributor who's very large and someone who's small. Similarly, you know, there could be a multi-brand dealer who's very large and someone who's small. So we look at it at an account level. We don't really look at it at a channel level. Yeah.
Got it. Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now take a last question from the line of Shreyanas Jain from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again, sir. So my first question now is, when you look at washers as a category for the year, so obviously now we're 40 days into the quarter, I'm not looking at any specific guidance, but how do you see this product category doing for us in FY25? That's my first question.
So I can answer this on three counts. The first is that, as I said a little while earlier, the first accounts or channels which pick up feedback on consumer movement are the e-commerce channels, because their systems are very direct to consumer. And over the last 1 month or so, we've seen a significant uptick in both customer visits as well as actual purchases. So this is one element with which we believe that the next few months on the washer segment, which have over the last year and a half been very subdued and degrowing as far as the industry is concerned, we think that there's going to be a change. The second point is that the new range that we are rolling out is a very large lever for growth for us. It has a complete overhaul on the specifications. It's packed with features as far as the consumers are concerned. It is aesthetically better, and we are very positive about the impact on sales once this is fully ramped up. So this is the second lever. The third is something that, you know, we discussed quite at length in this call, which is in terms of our execution completion of this encounter manning. And the manning inside the store has the largest impact on washers, because washer is most dependent on the retail-based sales for growth. So to a specific answer to your question, you know, how do we see the next few months or the next few quarters? Based on these three inputs, I would feel that, you know, we should be able to deliver results.
Okay. So my last question is on your annual report. So there are three parts to this question. Please bear with me. So my first question is, we speak about new business verticals. So somewhere you've written in the MD&A that the company has decided to look into manufacturing components for electronic industry and railways. So now, is this largely a part of your engineering and motors business, or this you think of doing independently? Because you're saying you plan to do some CAPEX also after you receive a board approval.
Can you just repeat that question again? Bikram Nagia.
So I'm saying in the annual report, you specifically written that you look to enter manufacturing components for electronic industry and railways. So I'm just trying to understand, is this a small portion of your engineering and motors business that you're trying to enter, or this is a specific new vertical that you're looking at?
We are looking at running this as an independent vertical for now so that it gets the focus that it needs.
Okay, so just trying to harp on this again, do you think it's the right strategy right now? Because we were also looking to balance our home appliances business, and we're somewhere in that journey. And now you're looking at entering manufacturing for a different category where we don't have any presence as of now. So just wanted your sense here, sir.
I think the strategy is right, because this is all part of I mean, overall it's just engineering, but I mean, we are calling out a few people from the existing engineering business, and they'll be running this separately. It will not be part of the fine blanking, stamping and motor division. A team is being set up, which will be a mix of internal people taken out of the existing engineering division and new people being recruited for the same. We have to look at this point of capex, etc., how much it would entail, etc., but we think this is something that we should get into, and we think it will be long-term lucrative for the company.
Okay.
I don't think this has anything to do with appliances business needing focus or the engineering business doing like whatever it's doing. And this would not be too much of a diversification for us, because the product categories that we are choosing, this is within what our team presently understands well.
Okay, that answers. Sir, my second part to this question is, if I look at your customer schemes and incentives, you know, gross sales minus incentives, you know, that also has gone up, you know, from 20% in 23 to 22-23% in FY24. So I'm just trying to understand this particular line item. Going forward, where do you see this number? Do we have to give higher incentives to the channel for pushing our products?
This is Raj Shankar here. I'll take this. You know, as I had said on that first question related to the gross margin, this line is a resultant figure of a mix of all the categories. So if you see this value in quarter one, it has a much more dominant contribution from air conditioners, and they run at a typically higher scheme structure as compared to the other product categories. You will see this figure balance out between, let us say, the Q1 to Q2 to Q3. So this is a sort of a weighted average number that you will have.
So, but sir, you said 15% of your sales comes from IFB points, right? So here you don't have to give any incentives, right? So if I take out that 15% of your sales and then look at this number, then this number looks even higher.
So actually, there are a set of IFB points which are run by franchisees. So they have similar commercial arrangements like any other retail partner. And even in the stores which are operated by the company, and there also, from the listed price to a customer price, there is a discount that appears as far as the net price is concerned. So this issue of a scheme is applicable to all channels, actually.
Okay. And so my last question, you spoke about saving about 10 to 12 odd crores from your OPEX fixed cost, right? Now, if I look at your FY24 OPEX breakup, a large part of it is a consumption of stores, freight, octroi, advertisement, and repairs. You know, these four heads are the largest for you. And these heads, I think, there is limited leverage you can get in these kind of line items. So when you talk about 10 to 12 crores a month saving that, which specific thing are you talking about? Because personally, I don't see any kind of line item that you can, you know, get leverage from.
So actually, if you go line by line in terms of the office costs, in terms of the cost of defectives, in terms of cost of compliance to e-waste norms, there's a lot of opportunity. travel cost, for example, and the productivity associated with that. So there are multiple heads, and those are the line items that we are working on. So even within the P&L, the way you see it, you will find a large chunk of fixed costs, which was a question a little while back, from the gross margins that we enjoy to, you know, the kind of bottom line that we report. So it is the same point, actually.
Okay. All right, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Natasha Jain for closing comments.
Request the management to post any closing comments if they have.
Thank you very much for joining this call. We will be meeting again after quarter two. Thank you once again.
Thank you, everyone. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.